And on our latest edition of St. Teresa's on the Air, we have once again our favorite guest.
Who? Who? Who?
That's right, our wise owl, our pastor, our guiding light.
It has been too long, hasn't it?
Our guiding light, our ray of light.
Oh my gosh.
Do you like that pun?
Is this a sign of what this 25 minutes is going to be about?
That's right. It's Father Ray. Welcome, Father.
Hey, everybody. When was the last time we did this? It's been a while, hasn't it?
We haven't done this since last time we did it.
Oh, my gosh. Time is just slipping away. Isn't there a song about that?
Cue up Steve Miller. Time keeps on slipping
future. Slipping away. Isn't that what the background singers do? All right, so Steve, what are we talking about today?
Well, you know, since the season of Advent is upon us.
It is?
It's rapidly upon us. This might be a good time to talk about all of the new things that are going on in the parish, all the new things, starting with... I'm going to get the word right out because I've been butchering this word ever since.
Oh, I know what word you're about to say. Or to butcher.
Reliquary.
The reliquary, yes.
The first time I tried to say it, it came out reliquarium. I was like, are we going swimming in that thing or what? That is really a beautiful piece of art, because really, once you turn on that light, you just... You become drawn into it and absorbed into what used to be basically just be a space for a sound system, and now
it was the closet for the sound system.
Yeah, but now it is a beautiful space that where you can see the relics of the saints, and as you mentioned in a recent bulletin, not worshiping the relics, but honoring and venerating.
Right.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about, because this is not like something you find in every church everywhere. This is a special thing for us.
Yes, it is. Would you like me to say more?
aren't you glad I said that? I'd really like you to.
Well, you know, we had that space, like, you know, with the new sound system, we had to had that closet door, which is, if you're wondering where it is, it's down by the choir. That side door, which would lead to the office doors. You can't miss it, but you can if you sit in the main part of this church, because you can't see it from there.
So right, you actually have to come to the front.
Come to the choir, Steve.
At
the
right.
If Steve's there, he'll test your vocal knowledge.
That's right.
And sign you up for the choir. And but then you take the right, and there it is, right on the right, right behind the pews. You can't miss it. You know, so why the relics, you know, and what's it all about? Oh, there's another song. What's it all about?
Alfie, dedicated to a most recent nun here at St. Teresa's.
Who has moved
on to...
She said she listened to enough of these WTOA broadcasts, said I've had it. Got to get back to Ireland.
She can still get it online, though, you know.
Yes, she can. Okay, so back to the relics.
Yes.
So, you know, if you go back to early church, the Mass... basically was said in the catacombs, which were the underground burial places for the Christians who had died, and they would say the Mass on top of the graves, which held, of course, the bodies and the bones of those who had given their life in sacrifice for Christ as the early church grew. And so, you know, the tradition of altars having the relic stone, which was a bone of usually the named saint of the church, would be placed in the main altar, where the priest would take the bread and wine and consecrate it, as historical as it has been, on top of the relics, the bones of the saints. And so, you know, here at St. Teresa's, I'm pretty sure the new, now new altar from, was it 2003 when the church was redone? Or do we go back to the 70s where that big altar, the main altar, does not have a relic in it? However, when we're putting up the reredos, which is the big white altar behind that altar where the Blessed Sacrament is kept, what we did discover and find is the altar stone, which has the relic of Saint Teresa in it, and that is on the inside of the tabernacle. So on the inside of the tabernacle, where we keep the ciborium, which is contains the body of Christ, rests on that altar stone. So great significance there. If you ever go up and look at the stone and up close to the altar, you'll notice there's another altar stone in front of the door where the tabernacle is, but the little square right now is empty, and that's where the bone of the saint would go, and then it would be covered over, and then Mass would be said. So as in the pre-Vatican days, where the priest had his back to the people, you know, he would say the Mass on that altar stone. So, of course, you know, we have, you know, followed the guidance of the Spirit and Vatican II, and now we face the people when we say Mass. So some altars still have those stones. Some of the new ones may or may not. It depends on you know, on the bishop of the time when the church is built. And So this brings me to our reliquary. So throughout my priesthood, and even as a seminarian, you know, I've been blessed the grace to have been given as gifts some first, second, third class relics. And, you know, first class relic is an actual part of the body of one of the saints, someone declared a saint in the church. So usually it's a sliver of bone from a finger, or a toe, or something like that. If you travel in Europe, you'll see a whole body. You'll have a whole finger, like when I went to traveled all the way to Spain this past year on the pilgrimage. We went to see Avila, Spain, where our patroness, Saint Teresa, is from. And what I was expecting to see was more of her. And the only part of her body that is there is a finger. So, you know, but still, it's part of who she was and is, you know. And so, but then you can go in other parts, and, you know, we don't do it as much as historically it has been done, where the body parts of the saint were cut. And, you know, like, I believe Teresa, or one of her arms, is in one monastery somewhere else, and her heart might be in Rome at one of the churches in Rome. And you know, we have the heads of Peter and Paul over the main altar in the Vatican, while at the church outside the walls of Rome have the rest of the body of Paul, at, you know, and Peter, the rest of his body is under the altar. So relics have been kind of a fascinating and important part of our church history. And so I had these relics. They're sitting in my office, and, you know, trying to think of what to do with that space instead of just leave it empty. You know, I just kind of listened, and the Lord said, why don't you let the people enjoy these relics as well? And so I started thinking about it, looking different things, and all of a sudden, there we have it. You know, and so we have a beautiful reliquary that holds the first-class relics. And then, you know, as you look at it, you'll see a lot of the cards, like they look with pictures of the saints, that either on the front or on the back, there's either a piece of cloth that was touched to the body of the saint, or it was something that the saint themselves had used as a second or a third class relic. So, you know, we look at the lives of the saints. You know, nobody is a saint while they're here on earth, our duty is to imitate the lives they led as soon as they decided to give their life to Jesus. You know, some of the saints weren't always saints. You know, I like to kid and say, you know, when I was born, you know, sometimes the doctor will say, it's a boy or it's a girl. But when I was born, I'm sure they told my mother, it's a saint. Of course, when my mother listens to this, she'll probably want to come on the air and correct that, right? So being a saint is something that we have to work on our whole life. And, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, you may have a patron saint, someone that you have a passion for, you know, and or someone who is the patron of what you do, you know, like St. John Vianney is the patron of all parish priests, of all priests in general. And, you know, for me to understand who he was and the struggles that he had and his story, you know, is something that I can look to and say, you know, he became a saint in the church, even though he had all these struggles and everything else, you know, because God blessed him and graced him with the ability to deal with the struggles that he had to deal with. And so, you know, the saints become role models for us to say, you know what, everything's going to be okay. If God is calling you to do something and you think you can't do it, then you can, because God does not call the equipped. He equips those who are called. You know, and that's a very profound thing to say, isn't it? I wish I could say I made it up, but it's not. So take a look at what we have in our reliquary and, you know, some of those saints that are listed there, some of the blesseds that are listed there, you may not know. Write down or take one of the papers that's on the windowsill and do some research. Check it out. You know, someone gave me a first-class relic of blessed, I think her name was Diana Bellanger or something like that. So, good French name. I looked her up, and she was a Canadian mystic. You know, never heard of her before. But, you know, someone who, you know, I could do some research on and learn from. And so there's a lot of them in there that I, you know, encourage you to take time and, you know, spend some time getting to know you. Oh, that's another song, Getting to Know You.
This is a very musical getting episode. It's three songs.
And, I'm telling you. 10 minutes.
We've mentioned there. Okay, so that's one yeah. Major new item.
Mm-hmm.
What other new item? We have a new sound system, a new reliquary. What else we have new for the new year?
Well, we have a new piano player.
We do have a new piano player.
And under Steve's tutelage.
Maroon.
And, yeah.
Not a color. That it's pronounced that way, but it's not spelled that way. Yeah. Maroon. Fine piano player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been looking for a long time, and you know, we just have been patient, and we're certainly blessed to have him, you know, share his God-given talents and his hard work to get to be, you know, where he is today, you know, to help us in
he's
our music
ministry. He's playing at the 11:30 Mass on Sundays.
Yeah, so, you know, it's great having people kind of use the gifts and talents that they've given to step up and, you know, help us. A lot of times in the prayers that I lead for community and before Mass, and, you know, I always say that we, so that what we do may always give God greater glory, you know, because that's what it's all about. It's not about ourselves, you know, and that brings us, of course, right back to the saints. You know, none of the saints, the martyrs of the church, they ever did it for their own glory. It was always for the glory of God. So, you know, if you've got a hidden gift or talent that you think, hey, you know what? Maybe I should be doing this, that, or the other thing. Well, then get to doing this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah, you know, that's something that's that you mentioned, giving of a talent. I was looking at a church bulletin from my my old parish up in New Jersey. Every once in a while, I like to look and see what they're up to, mm-hmm. you know. And it's funny, all the different things that that they have going on up there it's like, you know, I think we should try some of that. Not musically. I mean, you know, we have them beat there.
Yeah, good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, they have they have this almost like a spreadsheet in their bulletin of like the Ministry of Lawn Care, the Ministry of like they have a committee for everything in their parish. It's like you'd be amazed. It's like if there is no skill that would be, I guess, considered too small or too insignificant or too crazy to to be given to the parish or to God or to anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe some people think, oh, well, we don't need that. Yes, we do. Sure, we do. You know?
Right. But, you know, I think the important thing is, you know, when I say the prayer, that what we do is for the greater glory of God, we have to make sure that's what it's for. We have to make sure that it's a call from God. You know, it's a gift that God gave us to use for His glory. You know, unfortunately, there are too many times where people want to do it for their own glory. They want do it for the pat on the back, you know, or for for the recognition.
For the publicity?
For the publicity, to push their own agenda sometimes, you know.
Wearing the glaring neon T-shirt with the, you know, that kind of stuff?
I guess, yeah, right. So everybody sees me, you know. I refer to it often when I preach about the unholy Trinity, right? The
me, myself, and I,
exactly.
That's right.
You know, and when we want to get involved in ministry per se, for the glory of me, myself, and I, it never works. You know, one of the things that you'll learn when you read the lives of the saints, and you don't have to read, like, you know, the whole biography, is that for most of them, I would say, there came a point in their life, and this is just mind-boggling, where they felt a call to do something further, deeper, more intense, and many of them came to realize, I can't do this. This is too big. It's too much. And yet, they trusted in the Lord. And it was the Lord who provided, and it was the Lord who made them the instrument to change lives and to help, you know, the poor, those in need, you know. I think of, you know, in church history, and I'm probably going to mess this up, so correct me if I'm wrong. You know, when we had...
Oh, yes, I'm sure I know.
You know, when we had the three popes, you know, and the true pope was living in Avalon, I believe, France. And it was St. Catherine, and that's where I might be wrong on that, but there was a female saint, I believe it was St. Catherine, but anyways, who told the Pope, get back to Rome where you belong. I mean, this was unheard of in those days, you know. It just goes to show that, you know, what we think we should not be doing or we cannot possibly be doing because we don't have the ability or the, you know, it's not like that. God calls those who He calls, and He will give you what needs to be said. You know, and wasn't that the gospel this past weekend, right? You know, don't prepare your defense beforehand. You know, God will give you everything necessary to say, right?
At the right time.
At the right time, you know, and we can panic thinking, uh-oh, is this the right time? Should I be saying? And nothing's happening, you know. But the reality is that it always works out. Why? Because God always wins. You know, and if you work at giving your life over to God, you know, and it's difficult, you know, it's difficult, you know, if we work at it, then, you know, all things are possible with God, right? I mean, it says in the scriptures, all things are possible with God. And if I was a good Baptist boy, I'd know which chapter and verse that was, but I don't, but it's in there, I'm sure.
But that's okay. Because you know where you can find it.
That's right, on Google.
All right, what else do we have new for the new year?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we're coming to the end of the Liturgically, yeah. We just have, what, a week and a half left.
So now you know when the show's being recorded.
Yeah, we have Christ the King Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if you look at the scriptures of the past few weeks, it's been leading up to putting Christ first. You know, I mean, all of our scriptures do that in essence, you know. But these, you know, really, you know, we don't know the day or the hour, the end times. It's the, you know, when is it going to come? Nobody knows, you know. But the reality is that, you know, if Christ is our Lord and King, then nothing matters. It doesn't matter. It's going to be all right, you know. And because when we put our hopes and dreams and desires into the things of this world, man, oh man, you know, we're just setting ourselves up for disappointments. And so, you know, Happy New Year. Depending when you listen to this, you may already be in the Advent season when you hear this recording.
Well, you know, probably the best illustration of that for me, you know, is if you just take a picture of any scene anywhere from just, say, 30, 40 years ago, just a street scene.
Mm-hmm.
And you see businesses, and you see cars, and you see houses, and you see whatever. And just the snapshot encapsulates, you know, the businesses are the people's dreams of that day.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are there today. I mean, right. The businesses have all changed. They're gone, or some of the buildings are gone, and the cars are gone, and some of the people are gone, and it's gone.
Right.
Everything is gone.
Yep.
And that should be sort of like the thing. It's like if you, you know, at that moment in time, if you were putting your hopes and dreams in something that was in that picture, whether it be a job, whether it be a business, or whether it be whatever, guess what? You know, it's going to be gone. God's not going to be gone, but everything here on this earth at some point is going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that everything here should be kind of like secondary.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, yeah, you have to have a job to get by and put food on the table and all that kind of stuff. But
I mean, we also can't live a life that says, you know, the heck with this world and the heck with everybody around it. All I'm going to do is love Jesus, period.
Oh, exactly.
You know, I mean.
Jesus does provide those things for us to use,
right.
But we have to know how to use them. What's that old, the old joke that about, you know, the guy who's on the roof?
Oh, with the flood?
Yeah, with the flood.
Yeah, so they come by and they say, get out, the flood's coming.
Right.
And the guy says, I'm going to stay. And then the water starts rising. And a boat comes by and says, get in the boat. And he says, no, God's going to take care of me.
Right.
And then he goes up to the second floor and, you know, and then he finally gets on the roof when the flood is, and they come by with a helicopter and drop the rope and, hey, God's going to take care of me. Don't worry about it. Go on, you know. And then the guy dies, you know, when he gets to heaven. He's all upset with God and says, well, I thought you loved me. I thought you were going to take care of me. And he says, well, I sent you the boat and a rope and a helicopter.
Right. What are you doing?
Exactly. You know.
You have to know how to use the earthly goods,
right.
But you don't.
They don't make him your God.
That's right.
You know, and I think, you know, it goes back to the very beginning of time, doesn't it? I mean, when, you know, look in the book of Genesis, you know, what does God do first for us, right? Creates a world, gives us everything that we could possibly want, and says, here you go, now do what? Take care of it. He doesn't say use it and just, you know, use it and spit it out, right? But take care of it. Take care of each other, you know? So we do have to, you know, hold, you know, Mother Nature and each other up and take care of each other, but they cannot be gods for us. And when they become gods for us, that's when we reach for the apple, you know? That's when we try to put that unholy trinity first, you know? And you know, we can't do that. And so it's all part of God's plan. He provides, always provides for us. And we just have to work at it, you know, until maybe 10 seconds after we're dead, we have to work at making God first and struggling with our sin. And that's why coming up Thanksgiving is so important for us, to spend time with family and friends and to give God thanks for the many blessings which he has bestowed on us in this life, because they are many. You know, yes, not every day is sunshine and roses, but God loves us. And through the struggle and the pain and the heartache sometimes, what we find is, you know, that bright light, you know. And so, you know, be thankful as you enter into a new liturgical year, as you prepare for the second coming of Christ, whenever that will be, you know. Prepare for Christ's rebirth at Christmas. And, you know, and I take a size lot. No, I'm just kidding.
And speaking of thanks, we thank you as we come to an end of another episode.
Already?
Yeah, we're there.
Wow.
So we thank you for being here once again for another episode of St. Teresa's on the Air.
All right, y'all. God bless you. Thank you.